I've been teaching yoga for the past 8 years, and I worked as a wellness counselor before coming to medical school. And I've been really lucky to be able to be involved with the integrative medicine community and the wellness community here at Mount Sinai since I started in medical school. And I think that that's been like very, very helpful for me in terms of just like maintaining my balance and maintaining like a good, healthy perspective, like as I've gone through this training. But what initially led me to decide to go to medical school is I was a professional dancer in high school. And that was really the first time that I had been exposed to the impact that nutrition and mind-body medicine and stress management can have on physical health and performance. And I was in a pretty high-stress setting, you know, both with dance and then also with high school and applying to college. And I actually, you know, developed a couple of pretty serious health issues myself, and in particular had done some like traveling abroad and got a parasite infection when I was in high school and didn't realize it for a long time. And I ended up developing all of these like pretty bad absorption issues and like some nutritional deficiencies, which really impacted my health for several years. And it required me to take a lot of time and energy to learn a lot about nutrition and about sort of more holistic approaches to health, I guess, that revolved around diet and then a lot of other things too, and including how to better manage my stress. And I think that that has really influenced my perspective as a, I guess, someone who's, you know, about to graduate and go into residency at this point. And something I'm very grateful for, because I think that, you know, one, not only was I able to get my health back on track pretty early on, but I was also able to be an educator for my peers and for my patients from like day one as a medical student. And that was something that, you know, I think was pretty unique and has definitely like really helped me stay energized and passionate about what we're doing here, you know, even when it's not necessarily a big part of the traditional medical curriculum. And I think that it's also, you know, helped me to really carve out a niche, because back in the day before I had decided whether or not to go to medical school, you know, there was a part of me that was thinking like, well, maybe I should just go ahead and pursue, you know, more training in like alternative medicine, you know. And I had actually been accepted to a graduate program out in San Francisco where I used to live that was basically like an integrative nutrition master's degree. And I thought about just going that route or maybe going to DO school or becoming a acupuncturist instead. And honestly, I'm really glad that I decided to go to medical school for many reasons. I mean, first of all, I think that having this degree will ultimately, like regardless of the path I take, and especially if I take a more integrative approach to medicine, I think that it will allow me to impact a bigger population and a more mainstream population that might not be inclined to pursue those types of alternative practices in the future. And that's something that is important to me. And second of all, I think that it's, you know, I think that when you think about what integrative medicine is and what it means to be an integrative practitioner, it's important to include both sides, you know, Western medicine and what we think of as like alternative or complementary medicine. And I think that one thing I've realized over the years is that there's kind of been this false dichotomy that's been created between the two approaches or the two systems of thought that doesn't really need to exist, and it really takes away from like what we have to offer to individuals who are looking to like improve their health or maintain their health over time. And that's been like a huge source of passion and energy for me as I've gone through my medical training, is actually how do we bring this message about nutrition and about stress management and mind-body medicine and complementary and alternative medicine to not only a population of people who are receiving Western medication or Western healthcare, let me say, but also to like healthcare providers. And it's been an exciting experience of watching that community and that influence kind of grow and shape the culture here at Mount Sinai. I think that we've seen it grow from something that was like a real niche, you know, that only a few people who were kind of on the fringe were really interested in when we started medical school, to something that is more widely embraced as an area of healthcare that just is something that good doctors should focus on and should know about, you know, not just for our patients, but also for ourselves. And I used to have this perception that, like, you know, if I wanted to go into integrative medicine, it meant that I had to be actively bringing in, like, complementary and alternative modalities into my future practice every day with my patients. And I realize now that that's not even the case. You know, I mean, I may end up going into GI. I'm applying in internal medicine. And I may end up going into gastroenterology, or I may even end up going into pulmonary critical care, although I think that that's less likely. But what I realize now is that, you know, whatever I go into, that perspective and point of view will completely influence my way of being a doctor and the way that I choose to interact with patients, and it already does. You know, one of the things I spend a lot of time with patients talking about is just like healthcare practices in the home. So like diet, you know, is such a huge part of like what influences health outcomes, but it's something that is like very, unfortunately, that doctors are just not very educated about, you know? So not only do we not know how to like teach patients how to eat, but we don't even know how to eat ourselves, you know? And so we can't really model those behaviors very well for our patients either. And I think that it's like a huge problem actually in medical education. You were asking me like what's one thing I would change. I mean, that's probably a big part of what I would change, is just incorporating more education, formal education on just like basic nutrition and stress management, and what's the data that actually supports, you know, certain practices as compared to others in terms of influencing health outcomes. I mean, I think that we could have much bigger impacts on our patients' health outcomes if we were able to bring that into like every encounter, even at the most basic level. So it's something that I spend a lot of time with my patients on. And increasingly, I've become like really obsessed with transitions of care. And by that, I mean like transitioning a patient from the inpatient setting to the outpatient setting. Because one thing that I've noticed is like, you know, you can provide the most excellent care in the inpatient setting. And if you can't create the right transition of those services to a patient's home, then no matter what you do, that patient's going to get sick again, and they're going to bounce right back and get readmitted within like 1 to 2 weeks of discharge, you know? So what does that actually mean? Well, for example, like a lot of our patients here are Spanish-speaking only, and we have translators, and some people speak Spanish, but I still notice that there's like a huge amount of fragmentation that happens in the discharge process. And by that, I mean when you're sending a patient home from the hospital. For example, even with Spanish-speaking only patients, the discharge instructions print out in English, which is just like the most inane thing ever, right? I happen to be fluent in Spanish, and, you know, normally the discharges are also executed by the nurses, which I just find to be hugely problematic because the nurses aren't even fully educated, as they should be often, about, you know, what is our rationale for prescribing a certain discharge regimen for the patient. One thing I like to do is, like, not only FaceTime with the nurse and go through every single step, you know, in terms of, like, the patient's medications that they're going home on and their follow-up appointments, but then I also do it, I do every single discharge for my patients myself. And I will, like, sit down on the bed with them and go through everything, you know, whether in English or in Spanish, or, you know, we'll use a translator phone if it's someone who doesn't speak either of those languages. And, like, I actually sit down on the bed and will, like, translate everything into Spanish, not just in my words, but also on the written paper, and have the patient, like, verbalize it back to me so I can make sure that they really understand what's going on. And, you know, there's so much that transpires in that kind of interaction. It's not just about the fact that they're now better educated and more empowered to deal with like whatever obstacle is going to come up down the road with their health, which it inevitably will for many of our patients who are very ill and have like multiple medical problems. But in addition to that, you know, it makes a really big difference emotionally too. I think just like taking the time to be with your patients, to sit with them, to talk to them about about whatever it is that's concerning them. You know, I can't tell you like how many times I've had patients in that situation like hug me and start to cry. And it was so easy, you know, just to take an extra 5 minutes to walk them through what happened while they were in the hospital and what they can expect when they go home and what they need to do in order to make sure that they're able to maintain their care going forward. You know, medicine is changing, and I think that we're dealing with like a lot of changes to healthcare systems in America and to the business of medicine that we won't fully see the impact of that for several years. But having said that, like, I just want to say that one thing I really experience in a very visceral way every day, and one thing I try and always maintain awareness of in my mind, is what an incredible privilege it is to do this job. And, you know, I can't imagine doing anything else. And so whatever the challenges are and whatever the obstacles are and however the field is changing, you know, I still think that at the end of the day, there's no greater honor or responsibility than to be able to be a physician, you know, taking care of other people. So I really think it's still a wonderful field to be in.
Inside Stories is an oral narratives project that catalogs the stories of medical students during their journeys through medical school. The podcast is hosted on In Training, the online magazine for medical students. Visit us at in-training.org/inside-stories. Inside Stories is a founding member of Vocalis, the podcast network for medical students. Please listen to our partner podcasts at vocalisnetwork.wix.com/listen.